Hello, everybody.
Hi, welcome to our podcast, Photography and Business Insight, What It Takes to Be Successful. This is Alyssa Conley, and with me is...
Dita. And this is my second podcast. I'm super excited.
And, well, everybody knows me, but I'm David.
So you've been super busy. We've barely seen you since May. You've been a blur.
I'm a blur. I'm a ghost, you know. Yes. Actually sitting in one spot for the moment. We were in, like, the end of July.
Yes.
So I apologize for not doing another podcast earlier, but I have no excuses. We've just been plain busy.
Which is a good thing.
Too many wonderful clients that keep sending their friends. Thank goodness.
Yes. And speaking of which, what would you say your favorite job has been this summer?
Oh, by the way, they're going to interview me. Just so you know, David gets interviewed in this episode. So, first question.
Do you have a favorite job that you got to do this summer? Something that may have been a little unusual or different?
What did I have fun doing this summer? One of the events I got to do that was very fun and exciting this year was a new client. And these guys are linemen, and they climb up on poles. They put up wires. They set up, you know, your electrical boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, during a storm, these are the guys that get out in their trucks and go on the road, and they make sure that you have electricity. They help restore it.
Put back the down lines.
Exactly. They call this a rodeo, not like the traditional, you know, rodeo and
the horses.
Yeah.
They call this a rodeo. It's basically a training session, and it's how quickly can they get up on the poles and teams.
Mm-hmm.
And get the wires up and make sure everything's working. It was really fun. The client gave me an incredible amount of leeway to make as many images as I wanted to. She really gave me carte blanche and let me just have fun. And so I, you know, whipped out the old 300 millimeter lens, which I don't get to use all that often. And I had some ideas in my mind that I wanted to be able to make some images that looked like, because the poles were spread maybe 20, 30 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a picture that way, it's not all that interesting. It just looks like a flat plane.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when you use a 300 millimeter lens, what the lens does is it compresses everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it pulls in that background and foreground to keep it, to push it almost onto the same plane. So if you got a guy that's, let's say, way in the background, mm-hmm. and you got someone that's way in the foreground,
mm-hmm.
you can actually make a shot where if you see two or three people, instead of just photographing one person at a time, you can now photograph two, three, four, five people in that mm-hmm. shot and make them look like they're very similar planes.
Yeah. Right, they seem much closer together because
yeah.
of the compression. Yeah, it was a really unusual event when I got to do the back-end work, sorting through, calling in.
What did you find looking at the images?
It was really neat because it was so different. And usually as a photographer, when photographing outside, the poles and lines are hideous, and it's something you want to hide, and you found a way to make them look beautiful and photographing from different angles. And
yep.
So the angle of the poles and the lines, all it was nicely composed, and you had some great lighting to work with as well. And
well, I started thinking about, you know, again, the basics, light, shape, form, composition,
mm-hmm.
and making sure my exposures were right on. But at the same time, how can I create V's, and how can I create X's, and how can I create Y's, and
yep.
how can I create, yep. when someone looks at it, it looks very artistic.
Yep,
right.
We saw many shapes, and it was pretty difficult to boil down on 25 photograph highlights, because all of them seem so good.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are going to take that and put some of those images up as a portfolio
yep.
on the website?
Yes.
Cool. So, something else to look for on the website.
And that would be davidfoxphotographer.com.
Yay. So, next question.
I'm talking about equipment, we were wondering, what kind of equipment do you take usually for most of your other events?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. What does David carry in his camera bag?
Yes, what's in the bag, David?
Ooh, what's in the bag, David? Ooh, well, let's see. I keep granola bars in my bag. I keep mints in my bag.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you do a lot of photography with mints and granola.
I do. You know,
sustenance.
I get hungry on a job, too. And, you know, you always got to make sure that when you're talking to a client, you always have fresh breath.
Good point.
So many
yes.
people forget that.
Yes, that's a social faux pas.
Exactly. Oh, and the most important thing I keep in my camera bag, because most of the time I keep them in my wallet or in a separate little holder in my pocket, but I keep extra business cards in my bag.
That's always good to have.
Someone always asks, you have a business card? And you go like this,
mm-hmm.
and like, oh, wait a minute, I think I have a bunch in my bag. And you know what? You hand that card, and that can potentially lead to the next, another, to the next job.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a business card.
You miss it.
Sometimes it can be a missed opportunity. But a way around that, some people don't carry business cards, and I know I'm digressing here, but here's what I do is I whip up my iPhone,
mm-hmm.
I whip up my email, and I go, here you go. Can I get your email, your phone number, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier.
Oh, I let them fill it right out, and I exchange it right there, and then, you know, make sure that it's attached to me and to them.
Yep.
And then I write what a little subject is about it, and then I send it to both of us.
Yep.
And then when I come back, I sit down, and I'm starting to do my sales thing again. I look at, okay, who did I say I was going to call?
Yep.
And now I have all the information that I need. It accomplishes the same thing,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, for whatever reason, I ran out of the office, I forgot my business cards, I da-da-da-da-da, or I just got this new job and I don't have business cards yet. So anyway, what do I have in my bag? Well, that's not equipment, but it's also part of my essential tools.
Mm.
I keep, let's see, I run with 3 bodies at any given time. I have 2 Canon 5D Mark IIIs. Both have motor drives on them, battery grips. So what that means is that instead of having 1 battery in the grip, it has 2, which essentially lets me run all day long, all night long, without having to worry about changing internal camera batteries. It's wonderful. And in this case, I do use Canon batteries. I do not use other brand batteries. I've tried them. They don't last as long.
Yep.
So I go back to Canon. I just stay with it. It works. I have, actually, I have the 2 Mark IIIs, and then I have a Mark II, which I keep as an extra body in my bag just in case. I also have in reserve a Mark II that sits in my bag at home because it's most of the time I don't need 4 bodies with me. Although when I go shoot, I actually have a wedding on Sunday. I will have all my bodies with me because I will probably have 3 on my shoulder and 1 in my bag.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So what is it about weddings that are different that you would have the 4 cameras with you?
Well, for example, with a wedding, I might have one which has a 24-105, the other one has a 70-210, and the third would have, give me the 8-15.
Okay, so you, rather than taking the time to change lenses, each camera has a different lens on it, so you don't have to lose any time. You just grab
and go.
Go, okay.
And I don't mind carrying 3 bodies off my left shoulder. I don't use a utility belt. I find it clumsy. I've tried it. It doesn't work for me. So I know a lot of people use them, the holster types, the harnesses. You know, to each his own, whatever works.
Yeah.
Right.
So those are the camera bodies I keep in my bag. In terms of lenses, I have a Canon 8-15.
That's your fisheye?
It's my fisheye zoom.
That's on one.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. I always wanted it. And actually, I always wanted a fisheye, and then they came out with the zoom, and it really gives me the range that I need. I have a, I'm just going to run through the zooms first. I do carry primes as well. So the zoom is, I have a 17-40. I have 2 24-105 lenses. Why 2? Because those lenses are my workhorse lenses.
Okay.
Those give me the broadest range that I need given the kind of environments I find myself in.
Mm-hmm.
All my lenses, L series, the 8-15, the 17-40, the 24-105, and then I have a 70-210, which is also an L series. It's a 2.8 lens. And then I have, for my primes, I have a 300, which is an F4 L series lens. I also have a 300. I have an 85 portrait lens. It's also an L series lens. It's a 1.2, which is, I absolutely love. It's sharp as a tack and gives an incredible bokeh. So really, really beautiful
bokeh. Now, I don't see too many of your images coming through shot that wide open. When do you...
All the headshots are all shot with the 85. Everything is shot at like F14, F16. It's shot really high to keep everything really in focus.
Mm-hmm.
That's on purpose. There are occasions like today where I would have, you know, blown out the background, allowed everything to kind of fall out for a particular effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something I'm doing on a regular basis, just given the fact that I like things tack sharp.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my own personal neuroses or the way I see things.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an 85L. I love it. Strongly recommend that lens. It's an older series. Canon has not replaced that one yet. Probably they will someday. But it's clean. It's sharp. It's a little slow. And it's heavy. But boy, the quality, the result is well worth
it. Worth it.
Well worth it. Well, I just bought the new 50mm. Because I've been wanting it. I wanted to replace the 50 that I had. It's the 1.8 Canon just came out with their new lens. I've only had a chance to play with it once this week, and I'm hoping to played with it a little bit more this weekend.
That's my favorite lens. Of course, it's the Nikon version, but the 50 1.8, love that lens.
That's a non-L. I also have in my bag a Canon 40 pancake lens, which I love. Take that everywhere. A lot of times I find that 50 is great. Sometimes 50 is just too much, especially when you're doing having to do full body pictures. I find that just having that 40, just that extra 10 millimeter, allows me not to have to step back.
Okay.
To stay where I am positioned. Mm-hmm. I don't have to adjust anything other than just popping a lens on and popping a lens off, and I can just keep going. It's very sharp. It's not an L series, so it doesn't give me quite, but to compare it against the 85, it's not the 85, but it suffices. It does the job. I'm happy with it. And I've gone on trips with that and my 300, and that's all I've taken.
Yes, I think we discussed that in our vacations podcast.
Yeah, we did. Oh, and I bought a 24 prime, which is either a 4 or a 2.8, I can't remember. But it's also an L-series lens. The main reason I bought that lens, even though I have my zoom lenses, is a lot of times I do a lot of group photos. And what I was finding was that there's some distortion. Anytime you use a zoom lens, you're going to get some kind of distortion. When you use a prime lens, there really is no distortion in terms of images, although the 40 gives me just a very slight vertical, slight distortion. But the 24 doesn't bend lines.
Oh, okay.
So that really is the key. It's the 24 to 105 does. So if you're shooting against a background that has some type of a horizontal line to it, you're going to see that line kind of curve a little bit.
Yes.
The 24 prime does not bend the line.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Well, so, but again, you're spending, you know, it's a $2,200 lens. So that really is the setup that I have. What's on my wish list? So we're still talking about that. Well, actually, that hasn't even answered all the stuff in my bag, but...
That's a ginormous bag.
And do I take all these lenses with me at the same time? My bag would weigh way too much, but I'll talk about that in a minute. So let's see, on my wish list is the Canon 11-22, which is something I would like to acquire. I find that I think that will get me out of some jams, that the 8-15 doesn't, gives me too much distortion, and the 17-40 just maybe isn't wide enough. That's the other lens that's on my wish list. Other than that, maybe a 105 at some point, maybe a 135, I don't know. It's just, I've got pretty much everything I need in terms of that. What else is in my bag? So my flash units are two Canon 600 EXRT flashes, and I also have two Canon 580 EX flashes, EX2s I should say. Don't own the new Canon 600 EXRT2s yet. Don't really see a huge advantage to them yet. Maybe they're slightly faster, but I'm happy with what I have. Occasionally, let's see, other things I will put in and out of my bag. I have pocket wizards, I have the Cam Ranger, I keep extra batteries. I use 2850 nickel hydride batteries, AA's for everything. And essentially what that allows me to do, instead of carrying a battery pack, these are very powerful batteries. It lets me literally run hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of images before I have to change batteries.
Yes, I noticed that at the House of Blues that I had to pause between photos for my flash to recycle so I could take another picture, and you just kept going and going and going. And
I'm the Energizer Bunny. I keep going and going and going.
Yes.
But I find that, you know, I've been through all kinds of batteries through the years. The best batteries, as far as I'm concerned, are nickel hydrides and IMH batteries. They make a huge, huge difference. Yeah, they're a little more expensive, but...
They're also rechargeable.
They're all rechargeable, and you buy a high-speed charger. You can get it at B&H Photo. Not only am I saving the environment, because I'm not throwing away batteries constantly, otherwise I'd be going through Duracells like, you know, water. And I also shoot with the flashes mostly at quarter power. I'm not shooting at full power in any of this stuff, and I'm shooting manually, not electronically. So not automatic, I should say. And in terms of my bags, I run everything through Think Tank bags. Best bags on the planet. They're rugged. The customer service is amazing. And I find that I own three bags. A small one, a mid-sized bag on wheels, which is the Think Tank Roller. Love it. Take it everywhere. And I have the big bag, which has two wheels on it that I actually store now. Actually, I store my video cameras in.
Oh, okay.
Yep, found a bag for that. So I didn't have to buy a new one. And that's what David has in his bags.
That's a lot.
You asked the question.
No, good to know.
Next question.
We were also wondering, how many other photographers do you take with you for any event? Or is it just you?
Depends on the event.
Okay.
For example, the sitting I did today was just a single portrait. Yesterday, same thing, just a portrait. Didn't need to have an assistant with me. I set up so that I'm able to bring my portable setups, which are all Profoto B1s. as we're talking about equipment and Profoto softboxes and Westcott. And then, you know, in terms of how many people I bring with me, for example, on a big gala event, I will bring a second photographer. Sometimes there's a need for a third photographer. Sometimes there's a need to have staff on site producing images for us or producing prints for us on site. Because we do live photography and photograph and print on site. Or lately we've been even going further and emailing images on site.
Yes.
It's gotten even crazier. So, you know, it varies on the job.
Okay.
What is the difference between a location and an environmental portrait?
So I break down studio portraits and environmental / lifestyle portraits differently. Not that they couldn't be one and the same, but I think studio portraiture maybe in a more formal way than I do, let's say, a lifestyle portrait, which tends to be a little bit more of like what I did today, a little bit more light, a little bit more airy, a little bit more in the environment that the client lives in. Not as formal, not as posed, still looking professional, but you know, when you look at the image, it doesn't have that quote studio look. You know, it's a little bit more interesting to look at. Or, you know, if you're photographing someone in their environment where they're working or they're actually doing something, maybe that's their portrait. So that's more an environmental style or a lifestyle portrait versus photographing someone, let's say, in a studio or even on location, let's say, you know, a gray backdrop, a blue backdrop, a white backdrop, whatever the case might be, where you want them to be a little bit more formal. You want them to look a little bit more polished, professional. Not that the other ones don't, but sometimes they just don't have that same look or appeal.
Right, like those studio portraits I see as being great for headshots for corporate business.
Exactly.
For professional social media images.
Like I always say when someone calls me, you know, hey, I need a portrait. Great, well, you know, maybe the portrait that you make for, let's say, LinkedIn isn't the same portrait you want to do and use for Facebook.
Yep, definitely.
You know, Facebook is maybe a little bit more less formal and LinkedIn is maybe a little bit more formal.
Yep.
Because LinkedIn people tend to think as more business versus Facebook, maybe, you know, a little less so, but you still want a professional look. Does that answer your question?
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that is it for this episode.
Thank you for listening. Boy, they put me through the ringer today.
Well, thanks for sharing all of that information.
Yep. I learned a lot. Thank you.